Take out your Bibles, if you would. Go over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. And if you haven't figured it out yet, we are talking about spiritual warfare. And if you haven't figured it out yet, we're in it. In every single way, right? You know, maybe we feel like we're in it technically today, but we are in it in our lives, sometimes right up to our eyeballs, aren't we? We really are. So we're going to ask God just to speak to our hearts, settle our hearts. I know I feel like I've been running around a little today. Probably you guys have too. Anybody have a smooth morning? That's what I figured. Yeah, what's that? What's that mean even, right? What are you talking about? Amen. So let's just pray. Let's ask God to speak to our hearts and help us to navigate the bumps. Lord God, thank you for the day you've given us. We just ask, Lord, as we open up your word, that you would speak, Lord, in that same power that breaks every chain, Lord, that we have the ability in you, Lord, to overcome. And I want to ask, Lord, that you would just work in our hearts, take away all the distractions. Father, there's a lot. We know that right now. Father, even in the speaker and everyone else, take those away, Lord, that we can hear you and your spirit speak, Lord, in power, that we might be able to overcome, Lord, in the spiritual battles that we face. Father, work in our hearts now. Give me clarity of thought and communication and expediency. And Lord God, help us to understand well as your spirit speaks. And I ask it in Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to bring up our PowerPoint. I think we are. Maybe we're not. Is that soon or not? Not sure. It's on the desktop. Yeah, it's on the desktop. So you guys, I want to just take a minute. We are in our series. You can imagine there's this church up there in Nottingham on the screen. That's the one that we always use every week. We're continuing our series, The Church, God's Gift of Grace. And what we want to focus on today is this passage found in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 13. And the title of this message is Spiritual Warfare, The Battle is On. And it's on. It is on. And I want to share with you guys, over the last couple of weeks, I'll just tee this up, we have been trying to get a lot of things going at First Baptist Church. And when God's people begin to work, the battle gets more on. You know, we've had some fights, we've had some disputes, and people that are laughing, they're the guilty ones. I'm only kidding. You know, I praise God. Everybody's laughing now. But, you know, when God's people start to get down to business and it's eternal business, stuff happens because Satan is active. He's alive and well, and he's at work. And by the way, we beat him so far in God's power. And we're going to continue to do that because the Bible says this, and we'll pick this up at the end in Romans chapter 8. It says that we are more than conquerors in him who loved us. And that's what we have to understand, that there is hope for us today in that respect. So I want to ask you guys, and you'll see the screen again later on today, but during this time, we've been through the pandemic, we've been through all kinds of stuff, you know, all kinds of issues. A couple of words, I want you to write them down for me today on your outline, and you'll see them hopefully on the screen toward the end. But has anybody had any doubts during this time? So you've experienced that, right? Me too. How about any disappointment? Where do I start my list, right? You know, we've been disappointed by all kinds of things. We've experienced disease. Even though we had one big disease called COVID-19, life still went on with every other disease that we battle and we face too. So disease. Have you had a challenge trying to keep your desires under control? You know, good and bad. Have you felt distracted? Isn't that a life fan? Praise God. Dennis is just speaking. He's just being real, right? And I appreciate him. That's the reality. That's who we are. We feel distracted sometimes, too. It's just life's a mess, and we're just hung up in doing the basic things. You know, I want to share with you guys, as we're hung up in doing the basic things, here's a phrase that kind of has come to my mind during this time. It takes so much more to do so much less. Have you felt that? And You can leave it right there. I'll just interject this. You know, I praise God. God's people are working despite all of those things. And Cindy had a great idea that she was able to bring to fruition. And this is our cheer choir, or cheer team. And they had a chance yesterday to visit Lillian and Sandy and Penny. And what a blessing it was for everyone. You know, I throw out to you, when we encourage each other, usually the encouragers get encouraged too. So praise God for that. And thank you, Cindy, for that hard work and all the team that went. It was just a blessing. There's that picture I was telling you about. I want to keep on going. The title of the message you already saw. And what I want to share about is these things. So you can jot them down if you didn't get them, right? Doubt. Disease. Disappointment. Distraction. Division. Desire. And disobedience. All real issues. And I'm going to, I use this phrase, I'd be willing to bet that you all have wrestled with those things. Maybe even today. And I want to say this, just everybody look at them, get them down on your mind, and we'll have them up again later on at the end. But get this into your mind today. You guys, if you felt any of those things, are in the midst of spiritual warfare. So I want to say this, have we all been there? Isn't God's word right on time? You know, I planned this series like way long ago. I had no idea. God did. God knew exactly what we need to hear today and what we need to think about. So we're going to move on. I want you guys to get this down and jot these words down again as well. Believers, and get this in your mind, are in a spiritual battle, not a walk in the park. Those people that have said it a whole lot of ways, you know, they said, you know what? As Christians, we are in a fight. We're not here to frolic. We're in a battleground, not on the playground. And again, all those things kind of have to adjust to our perspectives. And I want to throw out to you, as you think about those words today and those phrases, you know, like we want it to be a playground, we want to frolic, and we want to have fun. And by the way, we can still get some of that done in the context of being a Christian, but we have to understand that opposition is going to be happening a lot. And we have to be ready for that. And I just want to share, life is a struggle. It is not a surprise that we will face opposition from Satan and his kingdom. He and his kingdom will appear, and get this, right, as angels of light seeking to deceive us. And here's the point. We can only stand to fight in God's power and spiritual armor. There's nothing we can do physically to be ready for what we're going to face. I hope you're fit physically. That's going to help a little. But you know what? These battles are not physical. So we're going to jump in and talk about that just a little bit. So let's jump on right away, real fast. Kind of our connection. We've been studying the book of Ephesians. In the beginning of Ephesians chapters 1 to 3, we heard all about the riches of God's grace for us. He gave us our calling, and our calling is ultimately heaven and all the things that God's going to give us in eternity and his presence with us now, answer prayer, the Holy Spirit, and all the power that goes with that. And then in chapters 4 to 6, verse 9, we talked about, in light of all those things, what are our responsibilities? What does God want us to do in light of those great resources and riches that we have? And then as Paul closes out this book, and I want to ask you guys the question, what's the first word that you see in verse 10? Look in your Bibles. First word is finally. In other words, this is sort of, I'm getting ready to wrap this up, but I want to give you one more thing. And here's the one more thing. It's going to be tough because it's going to be a fight and it's going to be a spiritual battle. God is an overcomer. You can be too, but you got to put your armor on and you got to work in his power. And that's kind of where we are today. There's going to be conflict, but there is hope. So I want to jump right in this morning and I want to look at, first off, there is two commands that we got to grab a hold of today. And get this in your mind. These are both commands. They're imperatives, you know, in the language, in the grammar. In other words, this is not a suggestion. And I want to throw this out. Everybody look up. A lot of times Christians think I could kind of take or leave what I hear at church or what I hear in God's word. This is definitely not a take or leave situation. This is, you better take it and I better take it, or we're going to be left behind in the wake of the battle. Someone encourages us. This is so important. These are commands that he gives us. And I want to jump on to the first one. You can just underline this in your text. First thing he says, finally, my brethren. And by the way, he says in this context, my brethren, he means my sisters and brothers, all those who are born again in Jesus Christ and know him. This is something that we have in common. We have the blood in common. We have the Holy Spirit in common. We have all the fruits of our salvation in common. And mark it down, we have the battle in common. This is not a playground. This is not just for fun. This is a fight. And everybody put this down. It is a fight to the death. And by the way, Satan would love to take you out of here in all kinds of ways. And by the way, he has. You know, I'm sad to say this. There's a number of pastors over the last 3 years that took themselves out of the equation because it got too hard. And that's sad, isn't it? And I want to say, there is hope and there is power in Jesus Christ. You know, and he says these phrases, and you can just jot them down. There they are, right? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We'll break that down. And then the second thing he says is, put on the whole armor of God. You know, a lot of times people will preach this passage all at one time. There's just so much here. It's impossible. So I want us to understand today and get focused on, you know, our eternal truth, which is we are in a spiritual battle, not a walk in the park, and we got to get ready in 2 weeks because we have a missionary next week who, by the way, is going to come and share. His name is Dave Young, and he is the vice president of Life Changing Radio. He's helped to plant a radio station in Liberia in the battle, in all the stuff that goes on over there, which is somewhat different here, at least physically. And he's going to share a little bit about that. And then on Halloween, October 31st, we're going to talk about what it means to put this armor on, and we need to get it on because we need it so much. So we'll talk about that. So let's just dig in quickly this morning as we think about these commands. The first command is this. It says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And I just want to say this. The word there, and you guys can see on the screen, it says the word there is en dynamao. And you can kind of get, what word kind of, that's the Greek word that's there, right? That's the transliteration of it. But the word that you're kind of hearing in there is the word dynamite, right? Dynamite. You know, dynamite is power. You know, it can move rock. It can move, you know, the earth. It can move anything, right? And he has this idea, he says is, I want you to be strong. It's a verb. I want you to be like dynamite. And the idea, he says, I want you to be made or become strong or able. And I want to say this, and I wrote this up there. It's kind of a grammar thing. It says, in the text there, it says PPI. And this is a verb, and it's in the present tense, right? And it's passive, and it's an imperative. So in the language, in the present tense, you know what that means? Everybody look up. Here's what, get this. Whenever you hear a command in the Greek language, it's always continuous action, and it means we got to continue to do it, and we got to do it every single day and every single hour and every single minute. We got to keep on doing it because it's required. We need it that bad. And the second part of that, the second P is it's passive. And everybody look up. This is not something that you can just do by yourself or I can do myself, you know, because I have a theological degree. I don't need that. I probably need it more because I tend to lean on what I know. Everybody look up. You ever been there before where you do something that you've done before and you kind of get overconfident? How many folks have been there? Been there before? You know, we've done that at the church. Well, we did Bible school for the last 65 years, so it should be easy. We said this years ago, we went on a mission trip. We've been to the same place. So has the evil one. And he knows us. And he knows the junk that goes on in us. And he knows how to trip us up and get us. So the idea of this word is that we need to be strong in the power that comes from the living God that works in our hearts and works in our minds. It's not going to come from any exercise we do other than the spiritual disciplines of leaning on God and knowing his word and crying out to God to help us in the midst of what's going on. And that's what he's talking about here. That's the definition is we got to be made strong, you know, in the Lord and in the power of his might. And I want to just kind of draw a couple of deductions out of this. So as I read this text, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. What are a couple things that we could deduce or take away from this as we read this text in an active way? And I want to put a couple of them up on the screen. Here's the first one is that I need to be strong. Something requires it. And you know what requires it? We are in a battle. And everybody look up for a quick second. I might say that a lot today, but I probably did it right here. But here's the thought. We're in a battle. So I want all of us, everybody look at me. I want all of us to orient our life and our expectation that we are in a battle. And I'll throw this out. How many folks maybe had the opportunity this week, maybe had to confront someone? Okay, I see him. Praise God. You know, it happens, right? If you're a parent, it's like an every hour experience, right? You know, if you're living with family, you're doing stuff, it happens all the time. You got to confront people. Let me ask you a question. How does that make you feel? A little nervous? A little on edge? It makes you kind of prepare yourself for it, right? You don't just kind of go on autopilot. Unless you, like, really love confrontation, which isn't probably a whole lot of us. Like, it's not a natural thing that comes to us that we do easily. Well, guess what? What I'm trying to say to us is this. You know what? If we're in a battle, it makes us look at life different. And here's what I want to say. Think about that for a second. So when you get up tomorrow morning, and when I get up tomorrow morning, we got to realize today's Monday. It's the second day of the week and the second day of battles this week. So I got to get ready for that. I got to make sure that my head is screwed on right, i.e. I'm trusting in the Lord. My mind is being transformed. I'm trying to act biblically. I'm saying, God, help me, because I know these things are coming up. And then there's a whole bunch I don't know what's coming up. But it helps me to get my orientation right that today is not going to go as I planned and as I want. Does that make sense? And I'll throw this out. I was going to say, hey, everybody, look up. But I didn't say that. Here's the thought. Think about that just for a second, right? We think about it's not going to go the way I want. Probably. Maybe some things will. But a lot of things aren't going to do that. How many of us have said this? Sometimes Jane and I will kid around. You know, Jane is a school nurse. I'll pick on her now for a second. She's a school nurse. But I can pick on her because we're having lunch at church. But she's a school nurse, and it's crazy now with COVID-19. Like, she literally, a good day for her is being able to use the ladies' room before she comes home, you know, and get lunch. And sometimes we'll kid around, and I pack lunch in the morning usually for us, and Jane does that too. She'll say, that was the best part of my day. And you all probably said that too sometimes. So, but what I want to try to do is orient our perspective that it's going to be a battle out there. There's going to be many wonderful moments, but there's going to be some times that are just going to, you know, really take us right to the edge. And that's what we're talking about here. So, number two, deduction. I cannot be strong myself without God. Remember John says this in John 15, famous passage in John 15. Write this down. Without me, and how's it go? You can do what? Nothing. In spiritual warfare, without the Lord, you can't do anything. It's impossible. And we have to kind of grab a hold of that. My strength lies in the ability of his mighty power. And the idea of that word is this, the word power is this kind of force that works in the present to do what's needed to be done. So God's power is that force that works in the present to do what I need. And I just, you guys could look up Psalms. Psalm 18, and it really should say 1 to 3. Just turn there real quick for a second. Kind of gets our thoughts kind of square. Psalm 18, 1 to 3. It says, I love you, Lord. I will love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from my enemies. You know, that's what we're talking about here, right? Is my strength lies in God's ability. You can read Psalm 73. It's also great about that as well. My help comes from the Lord. We read that in Psalm 120. Run. Many of you, we talk about this at prayer meeting over and over, right? How's that go, Psalm 121, verse 1? My help comes from the Lord, what? Who made heaven and earth, right? That's where my power is coming from. You know, I'll share with you guys, we don't have time to do this morning, but you know that song, A Mighty Fortress is Our God? That's what that's talking about, right? It's, by the way, it's hymn number 26 in your hymnal, and I actually brought that up, but we're going to kind of move past that. But it just says, we got the same foe, but our power is in the Lord. And I leave you guys with just something to take away today, which is Isaiah 54, verse 17. It says this, there is no weapon that has been formed against us that will prosper. So if I take God's power, if I put God's power on, I am going to get through this. Yeah, I'm going to get through the pandemic. I'm going to get through the pain. I'm going to get through the problems. I'm going to get through whatever is in my path. In God's power, I can be confident of that. And that's what I want us to kind of get a hold of this morning. So we're going to skip down. We're going to skip down to the next piece. If you need the notes, I'll make them available to you guys, no problem at all. But and we're going to try to begin to post those online. Notice the next thing he says. And by the way, this is sort of the application at the end, because he says, do it. Then at the end of 13, he says, therefore, you better do it. And here's what he's saying. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, this is a little bit different. Remember that first verb was a passive. Be strong in the Lord, because I can't do it myself. This part requires you and I to cooperate together and cooperate with the Holy Spirit and cooperate with God. The word is, it says A-M-I. It's an aorist, which is kind of like it's a past tense, and that's a way of adding force to it. It's a middle, means it's reflexive. In other words, it says this, you yourself put your armor on. And I'll throw this out. This isn't like you're a little kid and your mom says, put your coat on. This is you being a big kid and getting your coat yourself and putting it on. Put it on. Put that armor on. And understand that the armor, and the word there is this word, panoplia. We don't use this word. I've probably ever heard this word much before. That they say that the coat of armor, the suit of armor, is called a panoply. In the Greek language, the word pan comes from a word that means all, and then the rest of it, the plia, is all the equipment. So what he's saying is, he says, put this armor on, put on the whole armor of God, all of it, because you need it in order to get through the spiritual battle. So there are offensive weapons, there's defensive weapons. It's everything that you need to be successful in warfare. Really important. Put it on. And we'll talk about exactly what that is. You know, you know some of that, the rest of the verse, right? It talks about put on, you know, take the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. These are the things he says put on. We'll talk about very practically what that looks like in a couple of weeks. But we know we got to put it on before the battle starts. And I want to throw out to you, and I'll give it to you. Look up, please. You know? Here's the funny thing. How many of us, in a serious way, we're going to have a confrontation, we're getting ready to do something difficult, don't get prepared? And I'll throw it out. If we don't get prepared, what happens? It's a mess. It's a giant mess sometimes. We need to get prepared. And that's why it says, be strong in the Lord and get your armor on, because you all got to be ready, and I all got to be ready too. Because it's coming. The battle is coming. And everybody look up. Here's an important thing. You know what? It's even coming when you work at church. It's even coming when you have a Christian family. Sometimes it comes more, it seems like. Because Satan has a plan, and he wants to divide us, conquer us, do all these bad things to us. And he is, I'll throw this out. You know, how many folks saw the Eagles game Thursday night? You know, the score did not look bad at the end, but it was a dominating game by the Tampa Bay team, right? They got us. And I'll throw this out. When a strategy works, you don't change it, right? Satan's strategy has worked since the dawn of creation. He hasn't changed it. It works so well. Look at our world today. Is Satan's strategy working? Is there a division? It's all over, right? You know, it's increasing. Like, he's getting us hook, line, and sinker, as they say. You know, like, we're the fish, and we're biting the hook with the worm on it or whatever's on it, but we're still biting the hook, and he's leading us right down that path. So it works. So we need to get our armor on. So a few things that we can deduce from that today. Number one, I'm in a battle, and I must expect it to break out. So when you get ready to leave church, we're getting ready to go back to youth group in Awana today, watch out, the battle's going to break out. Don't be surprised. I don't know what it's going to be. Everything else is broke today. Maybe the stove will break. I don't know. I hope not. You know, we're back there. We're cooking chicken nuggets and French fries. I hope it doesn't break, but maybe it will. I don't know. Something's probably going to happen. You know, we're in the battle. Expect it to break out. God has provided the right armor, but what? I got to put it on. It's no good if you don't put it on. You know, and think about this for a second. You know, if you're going to, I use this, not everyone does this, even I don't sometimes. If you're going to ride a motorcycle, what do you put on? At least in New Jersey, you wear a helmet. Other states, you know, I don't know what they do, but in New Jersey, you wear a helmet. When you wear a bicycle, it's a good idea. Maybe in your neighborhood, okay, but man, you go out on Sunset Road, please wear a helmet. Please, you know, we've seen things happen here, right? Please put a helmet on. You got to get ready for it. I have a part in this. I got to equip myself. I must implement what God has provided. You heard this illustration. We were talking about this a little while ago, and in the context of COVID and vaccines and all this stuff, there's an illustration that kind of goes like this. There was a man and his family, and they were involved in a hurricane and a flood, and the guy, you know, he climbed out. You know how it happens down in the South? A lot of times people will go up into their attic and they have an axe in their attic and they could cut a hole in their attic to get up on the roof and get as high as you can because the flood water is rising. And the guy's up there and he's like praying to God, God, save me! Just like we all would do, right? And the Lord, in his providence, he already knew that. God answers prayer. He sends someone in one of those little Zodiac rafts, you know, with the outboard. And the Zodiac comes by, and the guy's like, you know, I would love to get in that, but I want to take my stuff and everything, so I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait on God. I prayed. It's okay. So the guy, you know, takes off, you know? And then, you know, he's a man of faith. He's like, you know, God's going to deliver, you know, and he hears a helicopter. You know, you hear that props coming, whoa, 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 whoa. And there's a guy up there, they're yelling down and beginning to lower someone down, like in the Coast Guard, yelling, come down the rope. You know, the frog man comes down. And, you know, and he's like, we're here to save you. And he's like, oh, man, you know, I can't get all my stuff, and it's going to be a real hassle. I'm a little bit afraid of heights. I don't think I want to do it. I know God is going to deliver. Guess what happened? The water keeps on rising. He drowns. He dies. And this is the story. He gets to heaven, says, God, what happened? And he said, who do you think sent the Zodiac and the helicopter? And you didn't put it on. You didn't take advantage of it. And I want to throw that out. Isn't that us in a spiritual battle? We got all the tools, but we're like, oh, I'm good. I'm good. I went to church yesterday, and I am good for the rest of the week. You know, we prayed so long. You know, we studied the Word of God. I got a big helping. I'm good. And God's saying, no, no, no. Put the armor on. Get ready. Right? That's what he's saying we need to do. So put the armor on. Next thing, real quick, we're going to move on. Considerations for the battle. And he says right in the text, right? And we'll pick it up real fast. He just says, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. There's a reason. We need this because we are not battling with flesh and blood. And, you know, you guys are going to smile. Look up. Why does he say that phrase? How is it different when I battle flesh and blood? Yeah, our powers are kind of equal, right, in some ways. I mean, some are a little stronger than others, but kind of equal. Humans all can die. Humans all can be overcome. Humans can be injured. Humans give up. But what he's saying here in this battle is, this is different. Satan doesn't give up. Satan can't die. Satan is in the game for keeps until the Lord puts him into the lake of fire. So it's a different kind of battle. That's why he says we got to think differently about this battle today. So I want to move on. I want to just kind of share a couple things about him and worth jotting these down. Here's the opposition. By the way, it says this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And you might remember this passage. It's a great passage. It says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of the world. You know, who's our opposition? The world, the flesh, and the devil. The world's power is controlled by the prince of the power of the air. His name is Satan, or the devil. So the world is a negative factor upon what we're doing. 1 John 2 says the same thing. And then he says, we once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, Satan, among whom we also, once we conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh. And everybody look up. You know what? My flesh loves to gratify itself. How about yours? You know, our flesh loves to gratify itself, doesn't it? And he said, that's our opposition. And that the to fight those forces, it's not a hand-to-hand, physical, human fight. It's a different kind of fight. That's the Holy Spirit calling in. It's okay. We all have that problem. We all have been there. So I want to just share a couple of things. Let's get the idea about Satan, his names. Diablos. Diabolical. And here's what it means. It says he's a slanderer or he's an accuser. So he is always trying to slander you to God and slander you to everybody else and slander you to you. He's a liar. We'll come to that in a second. He's our adversary. Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus himself tempted and says, the adversary, Satan, he's the one who tempts him. You know, his character, right? Not only is he a slanderer in his name and he's the adversary, but his character is he's a murderer, says in John 8:44. He's a thief, and he is a liar. But I'll throw this out. He's a good liar. You know what I mean by that? You know, you've seen like probably your children or someone else, that they come up with some lie, and it's like not even believable. Like, come on. Satan's lies are believable, and we fall for them. So he's a good liar. That's who he is. John 8:44 says that. John 10:10 says he's a thief. You know, the Lord kind of contrasted himself. He said, you know, he's a shepherd that is going to lay his life down for the sheep. Satan is not laying his life down for anybody. He's going to come and take the sheep to destroy them. And he wants us to understand that. His occupation, check this out, is seeking whom he may devour. Remember, it says this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, there's that word, the devil is what? Moving around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So again, kind of gets the battle under a little bit of a consideration here for us. And then notice, by the way, it talks about this phrase, and I just want to go back to Ephesians 6. I called it his army. Here's his army. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Right? So understand that his army is the unseen spiritual realm. And I want you guys to think about this. I remember years ago I read a series of books, or some of the books. There was an author, his name was Frank Peretti. I remember that name. It's going way back. But he wrote a book. It was called Into the Darkness. And he actually described, like, just imagine what's going on. I'm going to throw out to you something to think about this. Can you imagine right now in this room there are angelic spiritual forces for good? There's the Holy Spirit, and there are demonic forces for evil that are trying to take away your attention, that are trying to say, oh, don't worry about that. They're trying to say, you're hungry, you had enough, just give up. You know, that's what's kind of going on every single day. They're the same voices that say, do what makes you feel good. Don't worry about what that other person thinks or needs. These forces are going on. They're working in our flesh. They're working in our minds. They're working in our attitudes. These forces are the ones, you know, when you kind of wake up, they say you fell out the wrong side of the bed. They're the ones that pushed you. And I say that laughingly, but do you get the idea? Like, you know, you wake up and you are just ripe. As by the way, the Lord said of Peter, Satan has sifted you like wheat. You know that phrase? So sometimes we wake up and we are just ready to be used by him and to be sifted by him. And that's why I want to understand. His army is at work, and I'm not trying to frighten you or scare you, but I am trying to give us an orientation or perspective that spiritual warfare is real. It's really real. And it's going on right now, even for your soul, the soul of your children and your family and your friends. It's happening. And it explains, by the way, some of the chaos that we see in the world, that we go, I can't imagine a human being could do that to someone else. Maybe they couldn't, but with the help of the dark, satanic world, they could. That's what he's talking about here. So the opposition is significant. Very quick, we got to kind of groove here. The obstacles, what are the wiles? And I'm going to talk about these more in depth when I come back in a couple of weeks. But get this idea about wiles. And we mentioned this earlier. Satan's methodology, his methods, his strategies, his techniques, it's kind of a well-crafted way to trick us and fool us and deceive us and to capture us like we were an animal that was sought to be captured. And I want to throw this out. Did anybody get tempted to sin this week? Successfully. Did you get tempted and you lost? Anybody have that problem? Amen, right? We probably all of us did, right? So we know what's going on, right? Satan's wiles were creative, and they fit right into kind of where we were. You know, we have our own little issues that he probably knows about. And bam, we're hooked and we're caught. And that's what we want to get a hold of. Now, I'm going to hit them real fast, and we're going to come back and hit them at length next time. But here they are. I'm going to pop them up there real fast. Get these seven things down, because this is what we see in our world. This is what we felt in our world over these last couple of years. And these are the things Satan uses. And I'm going to say them quick, and I'm going to come back and summarize. Get them down. Here's the first one, doubt. And if you don't believe it, ask Eve. When we get to heaven, ask Eve, who spoke to the serpent, and he talked her out of obeying God and taking the fruit. I don't know, I like apples, but I'm not going to disobey God for a stinking apple. Right? And think about, like, our downfall of all humanity was a result of doubt. You know, so just think about that. And I'll just take it right down the left-hand side. Disobedience. Satan is so crafty, he'll make us think that disobeying God is in our best interest. And I'll throw a couple people out like that again. We can think of Eve. We can think of Adam, who joined right into the party, right? That made a lot of sense. We can think about so many people that disobey God. How about Saul? How about David? You know, just get what you want. You deserve it. You're the king. No, he's really the king, and I'm way down low on that list of pecking order. Disobedience. He uses that. And by the way, that it comes from our doubt, because we think that God's not in our best interest. We can't trust God. God's not going to give me what I need or what I want, so I'm going to disobey. Desire. How many people have to fall to sexual desire till we realize Satan is just throwing it out there? Or the desire for wealth. By the way, it talks about it in the book of Timothy. You know, be content with what you have. How many people of us, we trade everything to get a dollar, and then we have to spend the dollar on a flat or some other thing that we didn't want anyway? Think about that, right? Desires. And how about this disappointment? And by the way, this disappointment goes into a whole lot of other things. Disappointment often ends up in discontentment, disillusionment, depression. It kind of goes down that whole chain, right? Disappointment. I didn't get what I want. And you know what that's about? It's kind of like idolatry, because I think I deserve it. And I'm like, I want to be my God, and I want to get what I want. So, you know, I'm disappointed, and Satan just, and out there, people get disappointed, they don't get what they want. Guess what happens? They're hard to live with, even as brothers and sisters in Christ. How about disease? Think about Job. You know, God gave him those boils, took his children. His wife just became, you know, angry against him. She was so disillusioned. Disease. Satan uses disease even at times. You know, and God has in his sovereignty allowed him to do that, but it becomes this force that divides. Disease. And then how about this one? Distraction. You know what? I think Satan's not trying to convince us of too many things. He just kind of distracts us in this day with everything else. He doesn't have to tell us we don't need God, because he's given us so many other good things in our affluent culture that we don't think we need God. He just distracts us. And there's many, many distractions that he uses. And you know, those are all the issues and all the tools that he uses to take us astray. And we'll cover that just a little bit next time. So that's the considerations. The stakes are high. You know what? If we don't do what God said, we're going to be defeated. We're going to disobey God and suffer the consequences of disobeying God. You know, God gives us orders and commands because he knows what's best for us. When I go outside those boundaries, I usually get hurt. So we have that to look forward to. Destruction, personally, of our families, of our church, of our organization, of everything. The stakes are so high. Despair. Life isn't worth living when I go down that road so far, it feels like. And even death. Stakes are so high. Stakes are so high. So I leave you with this today, and we got to quit. Conclusions for battling on. Couple of things I want you guys to think about. There's the passage. And by the way, the last verse, right, says, therefore, in light of what we just talked about, put the armor on already. Get the armor on. And that's what we got to do so we can stand. By the way, not stand in defense, but stand in the fight offensively and defensively. And the last thing I just want to leave you guys with, And Sam, just click me there if you would. I'm a little bit stuck. There it goes. Oh, go back one if you can. Maybe I can. Thank you, by the way. Sound guys, you guys are great today. Check this out. As we leave here today at 12:33 on a Sunday, beautiful day outside, recognize the battle is real, it's intense, and it's important. It's real. It is absolutely real. By the way, I'm sure if you ask me at 3 o'clock today, I'm going to tell you how the battle went. And it's probably going to be real. Like in a way I don't even want to think about right now. If I thought about it, I would probably just get right in the car. You know? And y'all know how this goes, right? Understand Satan's wiles in your life. You got those seven things. Think about them this week. When you're real disappointed and nasty to be with, recognize what's going on. Spiritual warfare. You know, and all the other ones that we mentioned too. And I'm going to throw this out. Be here on Halloween. One, we need you to bring your candy for trunk or treat. The most important is we need to understand how to get this armor on so that we can fight and win and accomplish God's purpose in us, in our church, in our family, and in the world. Amen? Let's recognize, understand, commit. And we got to go, so we're going to pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you, Father, for all the things that you're doing. We thank you, Lord, that even in this day of challenges in all kinds of ways, Father, you talk to us, Lord. You spoke to our hearts, and you're changing our direction. You're in our minds, our thinking, in a way that you need to be. And I pray, Father, that you would help us as we leave this place today to dwell on those wiles of Satan and to dwell on the need to put on your armor and to be strong in you. Father, I just pray that you would work in our hearts. Now, I pray, dear God, that even in this time that's coming up with our youth, Lord, that you would speak, Lord, in a way that they would hear you. And, Lord, that you would just bring about great things. Father, help us this week in the battle. I pray, Father, that we would lean on you. Help us to do that. Help us to see what's going on clearly so that we can live in a way that brings honor and glory to you. And I pray these things now in Jesus' name.